You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Guys, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this weekend. 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to join me there. Our ushers and all of our locations have Bibles, and if you just raise your hand nice and high, you can borrow one or keep one. 1 Corinthians 12. I want to give a shout out to the Olathe campus, hey guys, and to our Overland Park campus, and to those who are online. I had originally planned to be in Kansas City this weekend. My son is starting his freshman year at the University of Oklahoma at OU. And months ago, we knew that freshman move-in date was Wednesday or Thursday of this week. So we booked a hotel, planned for it. Then we got a curveball. So he tried out for the marching band. He made the marching band. We learned marching band move-in date, because a band camp is this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And, you know, it's a really big deal to be there for your child. When a child moves away to college, you know, a child goes through all types of emotions. A parent does as well. And I knew that there'd be people this weekend who may well forget what happened. But my son won't. He'll know whether his dad was with him. And I got all sorts of joy and sadness and hope. I mean, it's a bucket of emotions. At the same time, so I had no peace. I prayed about it. I had no peace not being there. At the same time, I prayed, should I delegate this message? This message we're going to do was something that people totally misunderstand. And seriously, people mislead others. People being misled in this world. And I had no peace. I prayed about no peace delegating this. So today we're going to tag team it. I'm going to teach the start of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to pass it off to your host pastor to unpack the final points. Today's topic, understanding spiritual gifts. And we're in a series on the spiritual gifts. It's called Entrusted. And so there are, when you look in the New Testament, some 20 to 25 different spiritual gifts. There are 20 to 25 skeleton keys on this key ring. Every key represents a different spiritual gift that Jesus can give you the day you receive Christ. If you want to write down those chapters to study it, they come from the 4s and the 12s. So Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and the 12s. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And so Jesus doesn't give you all the spiritual gifts, 20 to 25. He gives you your own unique set. The day you receive Christ, he gives you this set. If you have Christ, you have spiritual gifts. Jesus has entrusted you with an incredible privilege. It's exciting, but a responsibility as well. And so today we're going to talk about understanding spiritual gifts. I'll begin with a story about my daughter, Karina. So this summer was a lot about preparing Jacob for college and Karina for her junior year in high school. Part of that was teaching her to drive. And if you're a parent, there is no greater extreme sport, adrenaline rush, than teaching your children to drive. No, 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 no. Karina. Not that it ever happens to us, but I hear it said. And so here's some photos, by the way. Here's Karina behind the wheel. And I want to ask you, how does she look? I mean, how does she look through your eyes? Do you see a young lady? Do you see somebody with a bright future and sharp? She's all those things. But how does Karina look to me through the eyes of her dad? There's her. I mean, seriously, how could she be driving right now? She's so cute. I mean, we just brought her home. Here's how Karina sometimes looks to people on Snapchat. Oh, yeah, the hot dog look is an awesome look. But here's what goes through a parent's mind the moment you hand over the keys to a vehicle. That's what you're wondering. Yeah. A parent fears getting the phone call. Hey, Dad, the GPS told me to turn right, so I turned right. Okay, just kidding. But these things do go through a parent's mind. She's actually becoming a good driver. Here's what's at stake. This is the key to a 1996 Honda Accord. The Honda Accord weighs 3,000 pounds. That's a lot of weight without anybody in it. When my daughter is driving on the highway, if there's a crash, that crash could unleash 60,000 pounds of force. That's incredible power. As her dad, I'm entrusting my daughter with this key. Think about it, this is like spiritual gifts. Your dad has entrusted you with keys to spiritual gifts. You see, the vehicle is a powerful vehicle. This is a key that can allow my daughter to do things that she could never do naturally. That's like spiritual gifts. It's a key that she could help people, or she could also hurt people. That's like spiritual gifts. And my daughter needs to pay attention and not be ignorant, to be aware that there's a larger purpose for this trust. Today's topic, understanding our spiritual gifts. And so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dive into 1 Corinthians 12. Lord, we come to you right now, and I beg you on behalf of those people who are believers in Jesus. There are people who have been received Christ. They've surrendered to you. You've given them gifts. They have these gifts. They don't understand what spiritual gifts are. They don't know what their own gifts are. Or maybe they do, and somewhere along the way, they just stop using your gifts to impact other people in God's kingdom. Lord, I pray for those people. You'd open up our eyes, move people, motivate us to use our gifts together. I pray for those people who don't have any spiritual gifts yet because they've not surrendered to you. God, today be the day they'd say yes to you. Jesus, I am yours. I give my life to you. And that moment they surrender to you, you hand them over the set of keys to their own set of spiritual gifts. What does that mean? We ask you to help us, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to begin by talking about the two hazards. The two hazards God wants us to avoid with our spiritual gifts. So when you're teaching someone to drive, it's all about telling about the hazards. Watch out for the right-hand turns where they stop. Watch out people turning left in front of you. There are a number of hazards when you drive a 3,000-pound vehicle. Likewise, there are two hazards that your God wants you to know about, and they're both listed in verse 1 and 2. And they both start with the letter I. Here's the first hazard, the letter I word. You can write this down. Number one, the hazard of ignorance. Ignorance about spiritual gifts, a lack of knowledge, is a hazard. Every first-time driver is ignorant about a number of things, like how do you start a car, where do you look when you're driving, what do you watch out for, how close should you follow somebody, how soon should you stop. You just don't know yet. Likewise, every believer in Jesus Christ is ignorant about the spiritual gifts. I mean, you're probably thinking, man, is Jesus some old-time dungeon master? Seriously? What are the spiritual gifts? And so here's what we see, the first hazard in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Paul and his scribe named Sosthenes write this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. God has entrusted us with an incredible opportunity. He says he doesn't want us to be ignorant. I just want to ask you a couple of questions to see what is your knowledge level about spiritual gifts. That's a hazard to be ignorant, to not know. Do you know, if you had to explain to your neighbor right now, could you explain to them what are the spiritual gifts? Could you do that? Explain what spiritual gifts are? How about this? Could you take a piece of paper right now and write down your primary spiritual gifts? What are they? Okay, that's my spiritual gift, and yeah, that is. How about this? Do you know how God designed you to use your spiritual gift? Have you ever been in a moment when God allowed you to use your spiritual gift? You are being used by God, and your use unlocked healing and power and change in somebody else. You ever felt that before? See, one of the hazards of spiritual gifts is ignorance, of not knowing. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There's a second hazard God wants us to avoid with our spiritual gifts. It's the second I word you see here in this verse. It's the word idolatry. You can write down the word idolatry. That is a challenge God wants us to avoid. You see, what happens is somebody starts to use their spiritual gifts. And they get a hold of their chain, man. They're excited about it. They're excited about it. They're using it. And then pretty soon, they start falling in love with the feeling of using one of the gifts. Yeah, they got these gifts too, but they love this gift. That's the second hazard Paul talks about, by the way, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in verse 2 now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 says this, "You know that you were Gentiles." There was a time you were non-Jewish, never followed God. "Carried away to these dumb idols," there's our I word, "however you were led," Paul and his scribe Sosthenes, they write, "You remember the old days when you used to put things above God? That wasn't that good. You're doing it again with your spiritual gifts." And so here's kind of how it goes, guys. That's idolatry. An idol is anything you put above Jesus Christ. And it happens with spiritual gifts. And so here's what happens, by the way. So you have this spiritual gift. You're so excited about your spiritual gift. And your spiritual gift, which should be this size, turns into what's below the black sheet. Let's see what your idolatrous spiritual gift looks like. It is this. There is your spiritual gift. A person's key ring turns into this. They love their spiritual gift. Every time they get an opportunity, they want to use the spiritual gift. They hold it up. They love the feeling, the sugar rush. It's so easy on one side to be ignorant about spiritual gift. That's one hazard to avoid. The other one is starting to idolize a certain spiritual gift. You can do this with any of the spiritual gifts. I see it happen with teaching sometimes, with teaching. There's like a sugar rush that happens when someone realizes God is using them with the spiritual gift of teaching, and they're listening to me and they're looking at me. That's a cotton candy in the spiritual world. You can start to idolize teaching. The spiritual gift of leadership can be idolized. Someone actually feels the adrenaline rush of God using them to influence others for good, and they love the feeling, they desire the feeling more than the Savior. And so that's our second challenge we have, because verse 2 says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." All right, those are the two hazards God wants us to avoid. Now let's talk about the three things God wants us to know. There are three things God wants us to know about our spiritual gifts, and we're going to see three things that spiritual gifts are not. What are they not? The first thing that spiritual gifts are not, they are, number one, not from different spirits. Spiritual gifts are not from different spirits. You say, why is that a concern? Okay, so when someone has a series of spiritual gifts, they all look very different. You guys, how different it looks like when someone's leading versus spiritual gift of mercy? They look totally different, and you could think, man, is there different spirits going on? It's the same Holy Spirit. I mean, how different is someone who has the gift of discernment, spirit-led discernment, from actually helping somebody else, serving them by the Spirit? And so Paul, with his scribe Sosthenes, says, guys, they are not from different spirits. It's the same source. You see this, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, verse 4, 5, and 6. There are diversities of gifts, all types of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, all types of ministries, different ways you can serve, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, all types of things, but it is the same God who works all in all. It is the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. It may look very differently, but realize there's only one Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's power can look very differently with each of the gifts. Okay, so they're not from different spirits. Here's a second thing that God wants us to know, that spiritual gifts are not, they are not, number two, not for you. Spiritual gifts are not for you. Oh, okay, spiritual gifts are to you, absolutely. God gives you one or more spiritual gifts, but they were never intended for you. God gave you your spiritual gifts to profit somebody else, to help other people. The target is someone else. You're the conduit. You're the deliverer of God's power, not the recipient source. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 talks about this. 1 Corinthians 7, 12, verse 7 says this, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one," each Christian following Christ, "for the profit of all." Other people are the intended recipients of spiritual gifts. You know what we are? We're like the UPS driver. We're like the FedEx driver. Somebody works for the U.S. Postal Service. God gives us a spiritual gift. We're so excited. When you give a package to UPS or FedEx or the Postal Service, you don't expect the FedEx driver, UPS or postman, to take it home. Open it up and enjoy your package that you're offering. You're sending somebody else as a target you have for that. God has a recipient in mind for you to use your spiritual gift to unlock his power and healing. We're the UPS drivers. Stop taking those things for yourself. Spiritual gifts are not for you. In fact, in verse 8 through 10, Paul with his scribe Sosthenes lists 9 of the, some 20 to 25 spiritual gifts. As you look through them, just realize, some of you have, if you're a believer in Christ, likely some of these gifts. Look what when you just flip through there, if you look at word of wisdom, the word of wisdom is a gift. That's a unique ability from God, the Holy Spirit, to know what to do in a situation, how to apply the scripture in a situation. That gift of the word of wisdom is not for you. It's for the profit of all. The word of knowledge, the spirit-led ability to know things quickly, to retain things, to know the scriptures, that's not for you. That gift is for somebody else to benefit them. Stop taking this delivery package home to your house. Faith, the unique ability to believe God for big things, hard things, not for you. Your big time faith is to help other people grow their faith. And Paul and Sosthenes go on, by the way. Healings, not for you. Miracles, not for you. Prophecy, not for you. Discerning of spirits, not for you. Tongues, not for you. Interpretation, not for you. These spiritual gifts are not for you. They're for other people. If you have Jesus, it's really exciting. You have likely one or more of those gifts along with the others. It's exciting. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. If you'd like to know more about what your spiritual gifts are, there's 2 things you can do to help find that out. Number 1, go to gracesurvey.com. Gracesurvey.com. That survey takes you maybe 15, 20 minutes. It'll send you the results. We designed it here. Spiritual gift survey. That's one way. The other way, come back next week. That is our topic next week, because there are a number of ways, not just surveys, but a number of ways that you actually can learn and discern what are my spiritual gifts. All right, the third thing that God wants us to know, that spiritual gifts are not, number three, they're not your choice. Spiritual gifts are not your choice. Now, when is the last time you ate at a good buffet? I mean, I want you to picture a good buffet. You got all these entrees there. There's the salads over there. When's the last time you ate there? You got side dishes, desserts, as much as you want. You got a drink machine that produces 165 flavors. It's incredible. Last time you had a buffet, you go there, you get to pick whatever you want. Spiritual gifts? Yeah, not like that. Nothing like that. God gets to pick which gifts you receive. They're his choice. And they wrote this, Paul with his scribe Sosthenes wrote this in verse 11. Verse 11 says this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, which keys are on your key ring, which keys God has entrusted you with, they're not your choice. They're God's choice. Spiritual gifts, not from different spirits. They are not for you. And they are not your choice. So what are spiritual gifts? Here's a great quote from a great pastor, a teacher named Ray Stedman. Ray Stedman wrote this about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is supernatural. It's beyond normal, natural functioning. The gifts of the Spirit aren't your natural abilities. Everybody gets natural abilities around the world, followers of Jesus or not. Singing, leading, speaking, painting, running, whatever. Spiritual gifts are only given to Christians. And there's something you never had before you became a Christian. Their abilities to function in the realm of the spirit, not the body, not the physical, and the health of the spirit is improved and enhanced and strengthened, and it results in others in a term we usually call blessing. Guys, those are the spiritual gifts. He's divinely empowered. You never had like this before to operate in the spiritual realm. You have one or more spiritual gifts. All right. So we talked about the 2 hazards that we need to avoid when God hands us over the keys to our spiritual gifts. We talked about 3 things we got to know that spiritual gifts are not. Now let's talk about the secret. There's actually a secret with spiritual gifts. This is the secret that totally changes how we view ourselves and the church. And the secret is connected to spiritual gifts. If you're taking notes, you can write, this is the secret. Write it down. We, being Christians, are body parts in someone else's body. Can you believe it? You see, we are body parts in someone else's body. Every Christian has this spiritual connection to every other Christian in this world. We are parts of the body. We're members of the body of Christ around the world. And think about it. We're just like different parts of the body. Different parts of the body function differently. They look differently. They act differently. That's like people in the church. And if you receive Jesus, you're a part of the body. So, which part of the body are you? Are you the hands, the feet, the heart, the liver, the lungs, the ribs, the eyes, the ears, the abs? What part of the body of Christ are you? So right in the middle of this section on spiritual gifts, Paul with his scribe Sosthenes reveals this secret in verse 12, 13, and 14. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He said basically Christ has one body, the connection between every believer in Jesus around the world, though they look different, act different, have different spiritual giftings. Verse 13, for by one spirit we were all baptized. That's a Greek word that means immersed. Immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. He's talking about the spiritual baptism, the spirit enveloping you, immersing you in him. That water baptism pictures what happened with the spirit. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member, it's not one type of body part, but many. And so right after saying every follower of Jesus receives their own unique set of spiritual gifts, and they're different gifts chosen by God, they compare us to body parts in the body. And as you read the rest of this chapter, Paul with his scribe Sosthenes unpacks this secret that we're all different body parts in Jesus' body. And he makes two aha moment points you can write down. Two aha moment points. First one from this is this. Aha! My church needs me. My church needs me. I'm different than other people here. I have a different set of spiritual gifts. I'm a different body part. And because of that, my church needs me. So, in all of our locations, because of this secret, your church needs you. Turn to your neighbor because they need help right now. And nice and loud, turn to your neighbor, say this. Say, you need me. Go ahead and do it. All locations, you need me. All right. All right. By the way, they do. So there's another aha moment from this. This secret. We're all connected. We're in a body. I'm a body part. Aha moment number two. I need my church. I need my church. See, you realize now with the secret, I don't have all the spiritual gifts. I'm just one type of body part. There's so many gifts I never had advantage of that I need you to minister to me. I need people different than me. I need my church. So again, turn to your neighbor because they need help in all locations. And say, I need you. Go ahead, I need you. Good. I believe we just had 35 marriage proposals, which is awesome. That's just awesome. All right, anyway, to further unpack these concepts, what this means for you personally, what it means for the church, I'm going to pass it over to your host pastors. Because the spiritual gifts teach us, my church needs me, and I need my church.
Well, we're gonna unpack those two thoughts just a little bit further. So, my church needs me. Like, we absolutely need you. Every single one of you. 1 Corinthians 12:17 says this, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? I want you to imagine for a moment a body that was just eyes, covered with eyes, no hands, just eyes, tons of eyes, maybe even just like 2 feet in eyes, right? That would be very effective in looking and seeing forwards and backwards and sideways in every which way, and maybe the eyes could see at different lengths, and that would be wonderful if the only thing we wanted to do in life was to see. But don't you love a good smell? Don't you love hearing beautiful music or the sound of a river rushing? Every single one of you have been gifted specifically to be a part of the body. Every single one of you has been gifted specifically to be a part of not only the global church, but to be a part of Grace Church. You have a role, you have significance, you matter. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So God has gifted you specifically. He made you who you are. You are not an accident. You're not a waste. He has purpose for you. And when you operate in the way that God has created you to be, he's pleased. It gives him glory. He loves it. He enjoys it when you do the things that you were made for. And every single one of you were made for incredible things to fit into a specific role inside this body. Now, you might say, hey, I hold a door open, right? I make the coffee. I take care of kids. That doesn't matter that much, but it does. Because without you, we would be missing a vital body part. 1 Corinthians 12, 21-22 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary," is what Paul says. They're necessary. Have you ever stubbed your toe before? And you realize how necessary a healthy toe is? Incredibly necessary, correct? We need you. Have you ever lost a fingernail before or gotten poked in the eye before? We need you. We need you. Now, not only does your church need you because you play a specific role, but you need the church. I need the church. You absolutely need the church. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' How silly would that be if an eye tried to say to the hand, 'Hey, I don't need you anymore. I can pick that up on my own.' There's no eye on the planet that can pick up and hold something, right? We need each other. Body parts rely on different parts of the body to be used to their fullest potential and their fullest function. We need each other. We need each other. We were made to be in community. You were made to be in community together. My hand, it's a pretty normal hand, I think. Pretty good hand, right? You better say yes. Unless you can talk to me afterwards about it. But my hand, it's normal, right? It looks normal. It can hold things, right? But because it's attached to my body, if my hand was severed from my body, if my hand was disconnected from my body and I showed it to you, you would not be as happy, would you? You might be afraid. You might run away from me. If I say, hey, I got something to show you. Check this out. That might scare you. Why? Because it's not attached. It's not alive anymore. It's dead. It's not growing anymore. It's not being used as its fullest function anymore. And that's what happens when we try to grow without community, without the body. Is we're trying to grow alone and we're isolated, and really we've been cut off from the life support which is found in the community that is centered on Jesus. And so for you, if you've been trying to do this alone, you need to realize you need the church. You need to be a part of this community. You need to be a part of a grace group. You need to be a part of something bigger than yourself, because we need you and you need us. And together, God wants to use this body, this unique body full of massive tons of different body parts to utilize this tool to change the world so that more people will see Jesus. That's what the body's about. That's what we're about. And so as we end today, I want to encourage you to consider, are you being utilized? Like, are you functioning at your fullest potential in the role that God has given you inside of the community that he's brought you in? Are you being utilized? Or is Grace Church missing a pinky toe? because you're not around? Are we missing an elbow because you're not around, you're not serving? Are we missing a muscle that we need because you're not a part of it? And second is this, are you trying to grow alone? Are you believing the lie that you can grow spiritually apart from the body? That you can grow spiritually isolated? Because you can't. Because you can't. Would you pray with me? So Lord, we thank you so much as we've been able to talk about spiritual gifts today. God, I pray that we would be a part of the church. God, that we would be utilized to the way that you've called us to. And God, you are pleased when we do the things that you've called us to, that you've made us for. God, you've created us to do great things, but only things that we can accomplish individually. God, there's things that only we can accomplish as individuals. And I pray that we would walk in those things. We'd walk in our own calling. And God, I pray that we wouldn't do it alone, that we would do it with others. God, we love you and thank you. May this season of grace be a season of the body being united so that more and more people could be welcomed in to this family who loves you and wants to see you known in this world. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.